Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome to this Epsom Derby Day postcast. I'm Maddie Plough. I'm joined in the studio by Paul Keighley. We've also got the returning Mark Boylan. Mark, it's great to have you back, and Rob Catterson as well. Now, before we kick off, Keels, your birthday yesterday. How are we this morning?
Yeah, big 5-0. I feel slightly better than I expected to. I mean, I didn't go home until 5. I was in bed at 5:30. I was up at 8:30. I did wimp out of walking the dog this morning, I must admit. But I've strategically chosen to wear this shirt because if I'm sick, I don't think anyone will notice. I feel absolutely terrible, but I've done all the study before, and so I should be all right.
What a charming start to the podcast. Mark, how are you? You've finished uni for the summer?
Finished uni for the summer now, back with your good selves for the next couple of months and then one more year down in Limerick. But I'm in great form, and thank God we're in a bit of better shape than by the sounds of it, Paul. Thank God I can't see the Skype line from here, but I assume the shirt is rather colourful.
Yeah, it definitely is. Rob, over to you. Are you planning to go to Epsom today or tomorrow?
No, neither day. I've never been, so it's something to definitely put on the to-do list.
It's a great day, Rob. You should get there. I'll be there tomorrow.
He'll be there tomorrow. Right, kicking off then with the big one at 4:30, the Investec Derby. Can Saxon Warrior win the Derby from stall one? No horse has this century. Keels, are we overplaying this a little bit now?
I don't know. I mean, it's quite interesting. When you say no horse has this century, no horse has won a race from stall one over 1 mile 4 furlong this century in a field of 10 or more. And you're talking 104 or something, and apparently it's 114 if you include 10 times that trap one didn't run, trap two got beat. What I mean? So it's a lot of it's a lot. I mean, on the other hand, how many of those horses would have the best form by a country mile? How many of them would have half the field possibly acting as teammates? I think Saxon Warrior is potentially by far the best horse in the race. I really, really want him to win. I'd love to see a triple crown winner at some point in my life.
Could get two triple crown winners this year if Justify wins at Belmont.
Yeah, they don't count. The old drugged up Americans just don't count for me at all. I haven't even paid attention to that. I'd love to see a British triple crown winner, and I think this horse can do it, and I hope he does. But am I going to back him at that price from stall one? And the answer is no.
Who are you backing then?
I don't know. You see, because the one I backed Anthony Post was Night to Behold. And he's in trap two, which is just as bad. I mean, I think no Derby winner has won from trap two ever. I mean, qualified won the Oaks a couple of years ago for it, but he's a difficult horse as well. And the problem with that low draw is they need to get a good break. Yeah. And if he gets a good break, it's going to set him alight, isn't it? Because because
he's quite a lively horse.
That keen at Lingfield last time, and I would rather he wasn't there. I'd rather he wasn't there, and. I think he's got the ability to be in the frame. I don't know whether he's got the temperament to be in the frame.
I can see exactly what you mean.
I'm coming down on the Derrinstown form? Yeah, Hazapur and Delano Roosevelt. I don't think Delano Roosevelt should be almost twice the price of Hazapur. I might have a small each way bet on that, but it's not a race that I'm going to get massively stuck into.
And any strong opinions on the ground at this stage? I think it's on the good side of soft at the minute.
It's sort of soft, good to soft in places now. Now, the funny thing was, they were forecast about 5 mil on Tuesday and got 21, and there were fears that you could get any amount of rain on Thursday, and they got none. And it's a very warm day out there today. I reckon it'd be good, no worse than good to soft by the end of the day. They might even be good in it. I'd be surprised now if they come over to the stand side, even on Oaks Day, and they certainly won't tomorrow. I think the ground will be improving all the time. There'll be some ease in it, but I don't think it'd be bad.
No. Moving on now, Rob. Rob, Saxon Warrior has been on the drift because of this whole thing about him drawn in stall one. Have you seen any money for anyone in particular?
Yeah, he was even money yesterday after he got the stall one, and he was even money again last night. We haven't really seen an awful lot of money for anything as of yet. I suppose Young Rascal has been back probably this week more than anything else, 9s and 7s. Bit of each-way support for Massar and maybe a couple of the Ballydoyle rags. But the big talking point is, what price is he going to go off? He was 4-5, 8-11 earlier in the week. He's got the bad draw. Now people are saying he mightn't stay, even though he's bred to probably get nearly 2 miles. It's just one, you know, the bookmakers are going to have to take him on in the morning. That's what Derby Day is all about. And it'll be interesting to see what price he goes off. I can see him possibly being even money on the show and maybe going off slight odds on.
Okay, can you give us a full roll call of all of the horses?
Yeah, so we're 10-11 Saxon Warrior, 7's Young Rascal, Roaring Lion is 8-1, we're 9-1 Hazapour, 16's Delana Roosevelt, 18-1 Massar, and 20's Bar.
Okay, Mark, over to you. Can he be beaten, do you reckon?
Just a quick point on the draw, Maddie. I did a piece yesterday with some former Derby winning riders, and it should be in tomorrow's paper, something I really enjoyed doing. But I asked Mick Kinnan about the draw, and he almost laughed at the idea that this would be a problem. And he said in a 12-runner race for Ballydoyle, will ensure the pace. He said the only way that this is a problem is if they go slow and he misses the break. And similarly, I spoke to Kieran Fallon, the last man to win from stall one in 1999 aboard Oath, and he said the draw isn't crucial. It's just how he approached that first turn that has mattered. So, you know, 6 Derbies between them, and neither of them are concerned about Saxon Warrior in stall one, as long as he doesn't miss the break. But you know, from a racing point of view, I think he's the most talented horse this year. I cannot get away from him. He's won on soft before. Don't think the stamina will be any issue. Looked a middle distance horse last year. But the biggest thing, Maddie, for me is his temperament and his attitude for the Derby. The ability to handle this sort of fanfare. And I asked Dunica O'Brien a feature about him before Christmas, just what he's like. And he said, Mark, he's like a riding school pony. You just don't even know he's in Ballydoyle. He said, the crucial line he said to me at the time was, You don't know what you're sitting on until you ask him to go. And when you put him in gear, he's a different beast altogether. And that stuck out to me. I think in a race where you'll have to switch off and conserve energy, especially if it's going to be in soft ground, it's invaluable you can do that. He's too good a horse. I cannot wait for the Triple Crown, and I can't see him beaten.
Is there anything you're looking at a bigger price, or is it just Saxon Warrior all the way? You're already backing him for Doncaster and multiples and the Ark.
Well, listen, Delano Roosevelt is half interesting here. Particularly, I thought he shaped nicely in the Darrenstown last time, and he handles that little bit of ease in the ground. And it's actually, if you want to watch back his maiden win at Leopardstown last year, it's actually comical how clueless he is, but he obviously has a huge amount of ability. So I wouldn't want to judge him entirely on his 2-year-old form, and he was quite good as a 2-year-old. So perhaps at around 16-1, he might hit the frame there. Shamie Heffernan taking them out for Aidan. Delano, I get the impression in Aidan's recent comments that he could be improving at a greater rate than some of the other horses in it, such as the Pentagon or the Kew Gardens of the world. I think Delano Roosevelt could be the nicest alternative of them from an each-way point of view.
Okay, and finally, before we move on, Rob, is there any other Paddy Power specials you want to mention?
Yeah, loads of specials. So we're 11-4 that he completes the Triple Crown. It'll be a lot shorter off as well. It'll probably be odds on should he win tomorrow. There's been good interest in that, as you can imagine. And as we said, he's bred to get a mile and a half or more. So if he wins tomorrow, and I think they've already said that the Triple Crown is undermined, I can't see that being 11-4 at post time. We've betting on who will finish last in the Derby. Interesting to see what Kiehl's thinks of this, but he's 25-1 to finish last. Well, I suppose if it's like, go on.
Yeah, I mean they're interesting, you know, interesting markets like that. I wished I had backed a few years ago Dawn Approach to finish last, because he was that guaranteed non-stay, wasn't he? You know what I mean? And he blew his top.
Never seen a horse pull so hard.
And that was it. You know, you knew he was not going to finish anywhere. As you know, after the first couple of furlongs, and even though I backed him anti-posed, I have a sneaky feeling that Knight and Behold might be the one that finishes last, because he could completely blow his
mind.
You know, and it'd be interesting. What price is he, Rob?
He's 9-1 to finish
nine
last.
9-1. I might have a little bet on that, because
even though you've backed him to win as well.
Don't cut it before I add me tenner, will you, Rob? it's an interesting one. He is the horse that could blow his top. I'm fascinated to see what Roaring Lion makes of Epsom. I mean, here you've got a horse with a real tendency to hang left. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it was really soft ground and they come stand side, I mean, I said today, good luck to Rushing Murphy for keeping him up there. Yeah. But, you know what I mean? But what's he going to do? He's got to make a decision. Does he hug the rail and try and drag him off it?
Yeah.
Or does he come down the outside and risk taking after field with him when he does come across? Because he's almost guaranteed to hang. Even when he won at York last time, he was edging left at the end. So it's a fascinating race. It could be a bit of a card up.
Okay, Rob, any more quickly?
They're really the main two. We can't really figure out what price he'll go off. We're 4-5 that he goes off 6-5 or bigger, and we're 10-11 that he goes off 11-10 or shorter. So that'll probably tell he's probably going to go off around even money. But the finish last market will be interesting, and especially what Kiehl said about the likes of Roaring Lion or Knight to Behold or or there's so much stamina doubts about so many of these Hazapourn horses like that. You could be looking at the other end of the field rather than worrying about how far Saxon Warrior wins by.
Okay, great. After this short break, we'll talk about the rest of Epsom on ITV.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Okay, welcome back to this Epsom Derby postcast. We're going to crack on straight in there with the 2 o'clock Investec Private Banking Handicap. Andrew Boulding won this race last year. He's got a long shot in it this year. How do they bet first off, Rob?
Okay, so we're 4-1 the field. Courthouse and Poets Prince are the joint favourites. 5-1 Ship of the Fen. In Dominio is also a 5-1 chance. We're 10s Connect, Corazon, Espinado and Shahood and 14s Bar.
Okay, Mark, I'll go to you first. Who wins?
Yeah, I like Courthouse here, Matty. You developed into a smart performer in the all-weather, and I think he was second to Gronkowski, the Belmont Stakes-bound horse at Kempton in his last start in that sphere. But he had 10 weeks off, lovely return on the turf at Newmarket 2 weeks ago, and he was the outsider at three on that occasion, and he gave the 1-2 favourite Old Persian, who was rated £13 higher than him. He gave him a real race off level weights in a listed race, and you know this will demand more now off top weight. It's a tough task for him when you consider he was winning off 83 in January, but I think he's a much improved performer. If he can handle this ground, and he looks a well-balanced horse last time at Newmarket, I think he could take a plenty of beating here for John Gosden and Rab Havlin, the team who'll be represented by Savannah Starr in the Derby.
Indeed. Rob, your selection?
Yeah, I suppose tomorrow you're probably going to need two things in your favour. Horses that handle a bit of cut, and maybe the high draw tomorrow might be crucial. Ship of the Fen has got both of those. He won well on soft ground at Doncaster on his reappearance. It took him a while to win last season, but the fact that he won first time out, and this appears to have been the plan ever since, and he's getting weight from three of the top four in the betting. I thought Ship of the Fen for John Egan and Martin Mead was the horse to beat.
Yeah, I like Ship of the Fen as well. Keels, over to you.
I don't think they'll come up stand side tomorrow. I really don't. I don't, because I don't think it'll be soft ground tomorrow. Interesting. Now, Courthouse is the one horse I cannot have, and I know you shouldn't criticise the genius that is John Gosden, but what on earth? If he was thinking of running this horse in this handicap, what on earth was he doing running a conditions race last time? He went up £12 for finishing second. What sort of certainty would he have been running off 92 here instead of 104? Right. He'd have got in easily. The bottom weight is off 80, is off 79. It's £4 out of the handicap off 79. So, I mean, if he was running him a handicap, it was one ridiculous piece of placing. He's actually £10 higher than any horse that's won this in the last 10 years. I can't have him at all. It's a terrible price. I think Poets Prince is the obvious favourite because of that London Gold Cup form. We know that race always works out really, really well. But even though he's £4 wrong at the weights, I'm still going to stick with this bottom one, George, for Sylvester Kirks. He has a tremendous record in this race. I wonder whether it's because it's something to do with his birthday, because we share the same birthday. He was 55 yesterday, Sylvester Kirk. He's had six runners in this race in the last 10 years. He's won it three times, right? All with outsiders, 10-1, 16-1, 25-1, and he had a second, right? And if it hadn't been giving £10 to Conduit, he'd have won, wouldn't he? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Conduit ended up winning the St. Ledger later on that year. So, you know, he obviously primes a horse for this race. This horse ran at Epsom in the nursery last year, finished second. That was his best turf form. He might be £4 wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's been absolutely primed for it. And given he's a double-figure price and the trainer's record, he'll do for me.
Sounds like he's laid it out just for you, Keels.
Yeah, good one.
Moving on to the 235 Princess Elizabeth Stakes. Now, Rob, I found the market on this one really interesting because I'm not sure if they've got the right favourite. How do they bet them in it?
Yeah, you could be right. So we're 3-1 Lincoln Rocks, 4-1 Ananirium. We're 9-2 Shenanigans. Wilhelmina for Frankie is also 9-2. 8-1 Stage Name, 9's Dan Steva and 10's Bar.
Yeah, now Lincoln Rocks, she's a grand mare. Guinea's 7th Ananirium's got to be interesting though. I'll go over to you first, Keels. Who do you think's winning this one?
I think this is wide open. I think you've got a lot of horses that we know what level they are.
Mm.
And obviously that includes Lincoln Rocks, who's extremely tough and game. She just runs a race every single time she runs. Ananirium is obviously very interesting as a three-year-old. Everyone knows right now that I love Sylvester Souza over this 7 furlong mile trip. I am quite interested and might just take a chance with this stage name. Won very, very easily in a maiden and looked really good. Now I'm not gonna try and argue the form up, because only the runner up who went close next time has done anything for it. The rest have all taken huge backward steps. But it's quite interesting. Hugo Palmer, you know, he doesn't tend to overface his horses. He's booked Sylvester de Souza, which I like. He's actually only ridden twice for him, for Hugo Palmer. Mm. One on an odds-on shot in 2011, and then one on the 25-1 chance never back down at the Lockinge meeting a couple of weeks ago. And it's just quite interesting that he's on board. The horse is by Famous Name, who was just a phenomenal win machine, especially when there was cutting the ground. Mm. So I'll take a chance. Not a race I'm going to be going mad on by any stretch of the imagination, because I think almost anything can win it.
Okay. Mark, is it a race you're going to be going mad on?
No, never one of these ones that I'm going to go and fill the wheelbarrow with here. But I think Shenanigans is the one that'll do for me here. I have a slight concern about the ground for her, but she kept on well in her seasonal reappearance there, enlisted at Kempton, and she was beaten by a race fit horse from France. But I thought the last time was really, really an excellent run when you consider she was given £13 to Nialetti, who's since gone on and bolted up in the German Guineas at good, and that was a Goodwood 4 weeks ago. And I think fitness-wise, she should be coming into her own now. And she had Lincoln Rocks behind her on that occasion, albeit that Lincoln Rocks is surely going to come on for the run as well, but she's a hardy little devil. I think she'll improve for this, and I think she could have more to offer as long as she handles the ground.
Okay, Rob, I'll give you the final verdict.
Yeah, I think we could have a bit of a surprise here. I like the one down the bottom, Dan Steva. She was very consistent earlier last year. She had two bad runs towards the end of the season, but she's had two respectful runs. And she's a big lover of soft ground. Obviously, she's by Mason. But she's getting an awful lot of weight here. Like, she's getting £12 from six of her seven rivals. And if the ratings are right in this race, there's no way she'll be out of the first three. And like Keels was saying for Sylvester and Hugo Palmer, Joe Fanning doesn't ride an awful lot for Richard Fahey. And when he does, he's got a good strike rate at 9-1. I think she's a brilliant each-way bet.
Okay, I like the confidence there. Moving on to the 3/10 Investec Diamond Stakes. Sovereign Debt was successful in this race last year. What a great old boy he is, but he's going to have more on his plate this time around with the likes of Century Dream. Take it away with the betting, Rob.
Yeah, so we're 130 about A-Rod. Century Dream, as you mentioned, is a 4-1 chance. Breton Rock is 5s. It's 6s Sovereign Debt, 7s Love Dream, and 8s Burr.
What do you reckon of this one, Rob?
Yeah, I suppose on ratings, Breton Rock probably has a narrow advantage, but it's nearly 2 years since he's won on ground like this. The improver, as you said, is Century Dream. His last three wins have come with plenty of cut. He's won over a mile and two, so there's no stamina issues. I'm surprised he's not favoured at 4, and I think he could go off favourite. Century Dream for me.
I like Century Dream as well. Mark?
Yeah, I think Arad was impressive last time, but I think he won't get it all his own way here. I think Love Dreams surely won't let that happen again for Mark Johnson. But I'm actually going to side with the other David Simcock runner here, Breton Rock. He's an 8-year-old now, and he hasn't run for quite a while, but there's a concern in that regard. But he's gone well fresh twice before, and he loves this sort of ground. And in this sort of grade is where he generally tends to make hay, albeit more so over 7 furlongs. But Ryan Moore has been booked for the comeback run in stall two. It's a trappy sort of race, and I think especially if riders in the initial races are reporting that it's tested, and this fella is a bit of a tractor who could plough through it. But I want to give a shout to maybe down the bottom there, True Valor for Johnny Murta. They've booked Adam Kirby there. He had a lovely run last year at Leopardstown in the Clipper Logistics Boomerang Stakes. He was just behind Swedwa. That's a quality piece of form. I think he'll come on for his first run of the season last time at Leopardstown. Johnny's horse is in good shape. I think he could be a lively one down the bottom of it, but Breton Rock for me if it's proven testing.
Yeah, okay, Breton Rock is no stranger to springing surprises, Keels.
He's not, but he only barely gets a mile, you know, and he's got another 113 yards to go. That's what would worry me with him. I mean, I've always had him down as a bit of a 7-furlong specialist myself. Does go well fresh. And again, this is another one, tight little race that is hard to say that anything doesn't have a chance. But, you know, if there's one horse in the race that is improving and in cracking form at the moment, it is Mark Johnson's Love Dreams. I mean, a typical Johnson's horse already run 6 times this season, but I mean, his last two runs have been career bests, a second at York, and then that win at Goodwood last time on good to firm ground. And he absolutely bolted up that day, and he just, you know, he was just going away again at the end. Now, that was 7 furlongs. He does stay a mile, might be a little bit of a worry over the, you know, the extra half a furlong, but he's just a horse that's improving. And last year, by far, his best run came when there was cutting the ground, so I don't think there's any worry on the surface either.
Okay, excellent. Now moving on to the 3:45, the Investec Corporate Banking Dash Handicap. Now, Tom Nugent's pals will be in love with this race, as they said on one of the postcasts recently. This is the only race, if they could win any race in the world, that they'd want to win. So they'll be excited with talking about this one. Caspian Prince is aiming for his fourth win in the race, a remarkable veteran sprinter. How do you rate his chances, Rob?
Yeah, what a race. We're five places on this, and Caspian Prince is a 9-1 chance. Dark Shot is a 6-1 favourite. Edward Lewis, a 7s. Boom the Groom, who of course has been unlucky in this race in the past, is 8-1 with Carbouche. We mentioned Caspian Prince at 9s. Duke of Friends, who of course also loves this race, is 12s with Ekumau and Shamshun, and we're 14s bar.
Right, Kiels, what are we getting stuck into in this then?
Oh, God, what a difficult race, eh? I mean, this is, you know, it's we always say it's a draw race. This is a draw race. You've got to be drawn high. And then last year, Caspian Prince comes out of stall one and gets way across and wins. You know, and he's got a very low draw of stall two. I think he might have been stall two last year as well.
I think he was, yeah.
He's got stall two again. But, you know, and I have backed him. I backed him earlier in the week. And I thought, you know, he's one of those that can get across. But on soft ground, the advantage is even more marked. Now, Good to Soft 2 years ago when Caspian Prince won it, the first six home were drawn 17, 19, 20, 18, 14, 16, and stall 15 was a non-runner. Right, you know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, it's all up there. And the funny thing is that in at the front of the market, we've got a lot of horses with single-figure draws. I think Dark Shot is the very obvious favourite. He was, you know, finishing really, really well last year. He's well handicapped as well and has got to go well. But I just, you know, play it simple. Back stall 20, Harry Hurricane. George Baker had a couple of winners the other day. He managed to get him down to a mark of 88. And that is, you know, that's way below what he has been capable of. You know, and I know he's getting, and I know he's a bit older now, but even so, you know, the horse has the ability to go really well, and he's a 20 odd to one shot. Like, I'd take a chance on him.
Okay, Harry Hurricane at 20s for Kiels then, Mark.
Yeah, I really like Duke of Frenzy here, Matty. I have a real soft spot for the horse, and I think he received one of Ryan Moore's greatest ever rides when he won this in 2013. I actually watched it back again on the Racing Post Members Club feature. We'll get the plug in there. It was just breathtaking stuff to watch him flashing home. He's 9 now, but he handles this sort of ground. Like he was 4th to Batash in the Abbey last year over 5 furlongs on soft. And his 2 runs this season, they haven't been his best on good ground, but he's been dropped 3 pounds as a result. That's just a pound higher than when he flew home here last year. I think it was a short neck he was beaten, but he'd have to defy top weight. But geez, I think David Griffiths will have this in mind. From things just seem to fall right for him here. It's going to be frantic, wide open, but you know this fella is well handicapped. He's won this over this unique test before. He handles knees underfoot. He should be fitter for the first two runs. He won on his third start last year. You know, I'm as confident about him as you can be confident about that in a dash. You know, it's absolutely it's a mental race, but if the gaps arrive at the right times, I can see no reason why he shouldn't be very much involved.
Yeah, it's some spectacle, isn't it? Now, moving on to the rest of Epsom after ITV goes off air. Does anyone have any strong fancies, Mark? I'll go to you again now.
Oh, listen, the last two handicaps, they look nightmarish. Nothing stood out to me now, to be quite honest. There's a few over the other side of the Irish Sea that maybe stood out, but nothing in the last after ITV goes off air.
That's quite all right, Kiels.
Interesting. There's a horse in the 5:15 called Eddystone Rock, who was second in the race last year for Mark in 97, and went off 15-2, and he's more than double that price at the moment in a place. And, you know, he went an absolute cracker last time out, went fifth at Newmarket on fast ground that he doesn't really like. He's got the ground in his favour. He's only £2 high. He got beat by Soldier in Action last year, who was running off 99 and won 2 handicaps later on that season off 106. So he ran into a really well handicapped horse. Eddystone Rock has some terrific form last year as well. He won a 20-runner race at York. I think he was second in the Old Newton Cup at Haydock, and he ran another big race at Goodwood as well. So, you know, I just think, you know, he might be a 6-year-old, but he's got, you know, he's got terrific form both at the track and in big field handicaps. I'd give him a shot. I can understand why Dash of Spice is favourite, because he's been second both starts here each time to Adjamin King, who may or may not have boosted the form by the time people are listening to this. But I think Eddystone Rock at a double figure price is a bit daft.
Okay, Rob, anything to add?
Nothing later on the card. I thought Blue de Vega had a chance in the dash on his best form. Robert Cowley, I think, is trying to develop him into a 5-furlong sprinter, and he's got the class to go close at about 14s, but nothing later on the card, no.
Okay, and finally, a Saturday wrap-up. Any tips that are not your best bet anywhere on Saturday? Mark, I'll go to you.
Yeah, in the first at Navan, I like the chances of Eagle Song. He's a two-year-old by no name ever. He cost nearly a quarter of a million as a yearling, and his dam was runner-up in the Queen Mary, so it's a pretty precocious pedigree. But he was disappointing in a good Dundalk maiden at the start of last month, but better last time at Leopardstown. He needed to settle over 7 furlongs, but they're dropping him to 5 now. He should be speedy enough, and Shane Foley is taking the mount with all the Ballydoyle and O'Brien jockeys heading across to Epsom. And the other one that stood out maybe at Musselburgh, just a bit of a mad one to look at now, but great fighter in the 5:30. It's a ladies' handicap over a mile and 6. Jim Foley's stringer in flying form at the minute, and he needs quick ground, this horse. He's going to get it here. They're putting first-time blinkers on after he was a little bit disappointing the last couple of times, but he could just be coming into fitness now. He has 2 wins at Musselburgh. He won over his course and distance before. He's dropped back to his last win in Mark. You know, he's a horse that if a few bob was knocking around for him on Saturday, I really think this could have been the plan for him. So, great fighter in the half 5 at Musselburgh, and Eagle Song in the 1:15 at Navan. They were 2 that jumped off the page to me.
Beautifully done. Rob, over to you. Anything take your eye anywhere?
Yeah, I've 2 at Doncaster and 1 at Navan. At Navan in the 3 o'clock, it's a mile and 5 maiden. Aidan has won 6 of the last 7 runnings of this. He's got 2 in it, but there's no doubt about it. Cypress Creek is the standout one. He was 2nd to Southern France on his most recent start, and that horse has gone on to win twice. Emmett McNamara rides him, and Mick Hussey rides Giuseppe Garibald. So you're not going to get much indication on the jockey bookings, and I think we might get a bit of value about Cypress Creek. He looks good in the 3 o'clock at Navan. And in the 1:55 at Doncaster, new wins. He was due to run at Epsom today, but they've gone to this race and said he was a good winner on his debut at Newmarket. He looks fairly progressive for Mark Johnson, so I thought new wins would win that. And in the 4:50 at Doncaster, Mocha Teal, 3rd in the Cornwallis last season. This looks a real good opportunity for him in the 4:50 at Donny.
Okay, Kiel's over to you finally.
Dead. I may have a couple of bets in the last one. I haven't looked at any other meetings. You can understand why. Apologies.
We can forgive you that.
I thought Quench Dolly might be a big price in the last at Epsom, the 5:50. Yeah, she's one of the rags. She's got some terrific downhill form. She does stay 6 furlongs. I know the best form is over 5, but she does stay. She won a soft ground handicap ridiculously easy at Goodwood last year. She does like these downhill tracks. I think she's a too big price. Brian the Snell, you can understand why he's favourite. I mean, he's won first time out the last 2 seasons, won very easily last year first time out off the same mark as he is then. And Richard Fahey was talking about the Commonwealth Cup afterwards, nearly back off 95. So I can understand why he's favourite, but I thought Quench Jolly might be quite big.
Okay, brilliant. Let's get your Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
I have to apologise as that didn't get a play yesterday. I was too hasty, but it did today. Keels, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I think I go for George in the open at the 2 o'clock.
Okay, excellent. Mark Boylan.
Well, I don't like conflict now with Rob, but I wouldn't fancy getting in a scrap with him now. But in the 1:55 at Doncaster, I'm going to go against him when he was suggesting there to go with the Mark Johnson filly new wins. I'm going to go San Donato. I think he could have bumped into the Coventry winner in Legends of War at Doncaster last time. And I think the fact that Mark Johnson's filly is in there could make him a bit of a backable price. So San Donato for Andrea Azzini heading to Doncaster rather than going to Epsom.
Excellent. And Rob, finally.
Yeah, Saxon Warrior is the obvious one, but I'm going to go to Doncaster for the 5:25. Sam Gold.
Okay, Sam Gold then for Rob. We'll move on to the Kipco Prida Jockey Club just after this.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome back to this Derby Postcast. I'm Maddie Playle, joined by Paul Keeley, Mark Boylan and Rob Catterson. We've covered Epsom and now we're going to look on to the 3:15 Kipco Prida Jockey Club. Now this looks a really good race. We've got Almeju, who won a muddling renewal of the French 2000 Guineas, Grafful winner Study of Man, key victory for Godolphin and Rostropovich, who won the D Stakes as well. So it could be quite a deep race. Rob, how do they bet on this one?
Yeah, so we're 5-2 Almeido, we're 9-2 Rostropovich, 5's Key Victory and Study of Man, 12's Hey Gammon and 16's Burr.
Mark, what did you make of this one?
I think this could be a big weekend for Deep Impact, Maddie, and I'm going to go with the horse that he has there, Study of Man, Pascal Barry's horse. His first 2 starts are on testing ground, and I think he needed the run first him up behind that Martin Mead horse, Chilean, and he's really impressive last time in St. Cloud, as you mentioned, in the pre-Grafful, hopefully I'm saying that right, in the Niarchos Family 6. I just think the step up in trip compared to the last 2 starts, that really brought out the best in him, albeit they crawled along in that race. I think Almeida is a lovely horse, but he could be a bit of a miler in in time. Rostropovich is a right sort of horse for this race, but I'm not too sure about the form that D-Stakes. My Lord and Master was stuffed in Paris Longchamp since, and King's Proctor was beaten off top weight in a class four in Newbury. You know, the other thing to mention, Aidan hasn't won this race before. There's been two winners have come from Ballydoyle, but Aidan never trained either of them. It was David O'Brien with a certain 82. I think it was the first non-French winner of the race, and Vincent O'Brien a year later with Caerleon. So it'd be nice if he could finish one of the final omissions from his CV, Aidan. But for me, Study of Man makes most appeal.
Okay, Study Man, as you mentioned, a deep impact colt could be a very big weekend for him indeed. Very interesting. Now Ballydoyle are ploughing all their money into him. Akhils, any strong opinion?
I can't say it's a strong opinion because I wouldn't be an expert on the French form, but I did like Rostropovich at Chester. I thought he won really, really easily, and obviously he needed to because the form isn't great. But, you know, with them having such a strong contender for the Derby, I mean, it wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world if one of their better other three-year-olds is sent to France, would it? You know what I mean? So, and I thought he's got quite a tidy turn of foot. He's obviously got a fair draw in stall three. I give him a shot. I was going to back him for the Derby. I was going to back him at each way, a big price for the Derby. Obviously, he's a much shorter price for this. But, you know, if I was going to have a bet, that would be it.
I know Tom Siegel said he thinks he was the only horse that Ballydoyle have got that he thinks could have beaten Saxon Warrior, and that's why he's going elsewhere.
Well,
would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's not a bad way to look at it. Mm. You know what I mean? I think that he was the most. You've got to remember, he didn't win any other trials, Aidan O'Brien. Mm. Right? And he hasn't done that for years. And I think the last time, you know, it's probably 6 or 7 years since he didn't win any of the major trials. And the one that did win a trial was, it's 2012 it was, when Camelot won the Derby, who'd won the Guineas, and his only trial winner then was the D-Stakes Astrology, and Astrology only lost second place on the line in the Derby, and I have a feeling Rostropovich might be the next best up there at that trip.
Okay, over to you, Rob, finally.
Yeah, I agree with Mark, pretty much everything he said about Study of Man. He was a real eye-catcher in his first run this season, but he was very impressive at Saint-Cloud. He'll relish this test. He's done most of his winnings with cutting the ground, and it could be a Derby double for Deep Impact. And Pascal Barry, he's looking for a sixth winner of this race, so he knows exactly what it takes to win a French Derby.
Excellent. Rob, any fancies on Sunday?
Yeah, just a couple at Kilbegan. In the opening maiden hurdle at 2:30, Santiago de Cuba was a good third in an above-average maiden hurdle at Punchestown. I thought he'd win that. Prava Laguna should win the beginner's chase at 4:35. And Willie's horses are flying full stop, but they're flying particularly on the bumper scene. And he's got midday gun in the bumper at Kilbegan. He'd quite a few entries for this, so I think it's significant that he's dependent on midday gun.
Okay, Mark, any for you?
I'd echo Rob's sentiments there with Santiago de Cuba. I think he'll be fairly tough to beat in the opener, Kilbegan. But one at Listowel in the 2:10, Dom Carlos, another Joseph O'Brien juvenile. It sounds like a fan club man here, but this time he's by Gale Force 10, who Joseph rode to win the jersey when he was in his former career. And he made a pleasing enough debut when he looked very experienced at Cork, but there was a lovely run last week at the Curragh. He was sent off 33-1, and he was an excellent fifth and a real good maiden there when he was a little bit interfered with when he was on the back pedal. But Aidan and Dunica have Coral Beach, a filly in the same race, who has two nice runs in maidens. The first one was behind Fairyland, but I think Joseph's one could claim a scalp here, and the fact that Coral Beach is in it could mean that he's a bigger price. So he's learning all the time. For me, Dom Carlos is a really nice two-year-old, and he'll take all the beating from me in the 2:10 at the Stowel.
Excellent. So there's your Irish racing fix sorted, Keels.
No, afraid not. Apologies, not up to normal standard, but I haven't looked at anything on Sunday, and it's all jumps racing. And while I love jumps racing, we are now in the flat season, and I just haven't had a look.
We'll excuse you on this one occasion. That's all from us today. We'll be back on Monday to review all the action, of course. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review us on iTunes. We'll see you on Monday.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.